Are you welcome?
Now, I know you've been involved in football for a long, long time, Mark, and everything that seems to have happened in the Telegraph over the last few days, is it something that's really shocked you when you've seen it in the papers?
Not overly, I've got to be quite honest. There's always rumours around the football itself, and obviously you can't take notice of rumours without them actually finding out and being sure that they're certain. But, I mean, if you look at what's happened with FIFA and the debacle that's happened there, you've got to be more than stupid to not realise something might be going on, and perhaps we need to tidy our house up a little bit.
And that's very true. Does it make the FA look a bit daft on this situation, the fact that they've been sort of banging at FIFA's door about these sort of things for quite some time?
I don't think it makes the FA look daft, maybe naive. It's really when through interview stages that I'd have been turning around and looking at managers and what they were about and finding their integrity and making sure that they made the right fit with us, and that's how we always picked our managers. You know, we never just went, there's a manager, we're going to take him. You know, we checked references, we turned around and told what personality he had, you know, what it was like in the dealings in transfer markets and things like that. You need to do that. I think sometimes some clubs get a knee-jerk reaction and go in and get set a manager on without doing the right research.
I was going to say, how was it that Bradford did things at the time in terms of transfers and all the rest of it, Mark?
Well, it's quite easy. You'll have a multiple transfer for one particular position because you'll never get every man that you want. So you'll have a choice of about three or four that you want. And you'll be chasing them just as the players. They'll be chased by about three or four clubs. So until you get down to the final one, really, it's down to the manager that you've trusted and the agent of that person to start talk to things. And then once they've decided they're somewhere near, then they really come in with either Julian or myself and turn around and sit down with the manager, with the agent and the player. And then, you know, we've got the agreement nearly there. You're on your meat, on your bones on it. And it's all done and dusted when the chairman's or co-chairman is there.
Ah, very interesting indeed. Mark, I've also got to ask about Bradford City and the start to the season so far. Am I right in saying that you were down at the Bolton game at the weekend? Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the Bolton game at the weekend, yeah.
So, yeah. What did you make of the sort of Phil Parkinson return? All the hype that had surrounded it beforehand?
Well, Phil did a great job for us. Mm. So I'm not one of these that boo Phil, you know. I've got to be quite honest, I think, you know, perhaps with the new ownership and stuff, it wasn't the right fit for them and it wasn't the right fit for Phil. Now, that happens in life, so I haven't got any problems with that at all. And I think he did a good job, and I think he'll probably do a good job for Bolton, but he does play a different style of football to what we've got with Stuart. Stuart wants to get the ball down, wants to play it on the floor, and I think fans appreciate that type of football more. You've got to get some sort of success if you're playing the type of football that Phil's got to keep your fans on board. You've got to be, you know, near the top of leagues or, you know, getting a good run in cups because they want to see that it's actually got some sort of use as that type of football, because it's not the most exciting in the world.
Ah, that is very true. And looking at Bradford, like you say there, the way they've played so far this season, getting themselves at the right side of the league up there, really fighting amongst it. It must make you proud to see how well Bradford have done this season.
Yeah, I've been a fan for years, and I'm going to turn around and say, you know, it's that. And when I were a chairman as well, it's very difficult. So I'm not going to ever go at chairman, because I understand how difficult it is to get a striker that, you know, score you 20 goals a season. I think we're creating them sort of chances. I think Bradford City have been unlucky with the injuries that they've had. Certainly up front with the big lad. You know, I know a lot of people don't like his style of football, but he creates so much chances for other people because he's taking a couple of defenders out of the game. And we'd not be able to have that sort of skill set yet, but We're still where we are, and I think we can get better. I've got to be quite honest. Look at the side. I think we're still gelling a little bit. You normally take about 13 games to see where you are. We're not a million miles away. And I think certainly, Catsey has not been in playoffs.
No, that is hopefully going to be where we are at the end of this season. But I've also just got to ask about Stuart McCall coming back in as well. Seems to have really bedded in, almost like he's never left in a way there. Mark, were you happy to see him return back to Valley Parade?
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing I ever had to do in my career was when we expat our ways. I mean, Stuart and myself were really good friends and still talk now. So it's great to see him coming. I thought, to be fair, once he'd go away and come back, he had too much passion for Bradford City when he was first here. You know, nights of not sleeping and worrying over Julie. I mean, yeah, okay, you can always give it as money, but it just weighed on him too heavy because it was his club. And I think he's gone away now, matured as a manager and come back and giving it a right good go. I think, yeah, I really am pleased for him and I'm happy it's working out for him.
Yeah, certainly is. Exciting times over at Valley Parade at the moment. And, Mark, it's always an absolute pleasure to you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Daytimes.
No problem. Thanks for giving us a bell.
Former co-chairman of Bradford City, Mark Lawn there, speaking to me earlier this week about everything that's happening across the world of sports and everything that's happened at Bradford City as well. We've got loads more to come. We're going to be talking a big England debate coming up. We're going to be having Fiend against the World. You can hear both of them again. This time it was against a dog and it was also against Sam's young one, Flynn, as well. So we'll see how we've gone on there. But do remember, sit back, relax. We've got loads to come on the show. But let's hear from Matt Dawson, the former rugby union man. He put some pretty controversial comments earlier in the week regarding Sam Allardyce, saying, you know, it was the press's fault and all the rest of it. So I wanted to talk to him about that.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm a fairly new driver myself. I've only been driving for a couple of years, but I was still even staggered myself that it's almost 50-50 on people that can't change a tyre.
I can't change a tyre 50%. That's amazing. Could you?
No, I couldn't, to be honest with you. I had to call out the RAC last time. But to be fair, I'd only been driving about 3 months.
Well, is that? But that's. I think that's quite a topical conversation because, you know, taking your driving test or just learning to drive, I bet you weren't told how to do it or given any idea of how to do it for you to then get your test, were you?
Well, that's exactly it. I didn't even really know where the spare tyre was to get my dad down to try and do that for us.
Which I remember doing myself. Mm. As I remember doing myself. So, and I think there are obviously a lot of people in that scenario. Which is why Holtz decided to do their survey and find out exactly where everybody lay with lay of the land, even. I suppose the reason why I'm involved, the link, rather than I need to explain myself a little bit better. The link for me being involved in this campaign is really because I was top of the list, very proudly, top of the list of celebrities that they polled. Who would you want to come and save you in a breakdown? Would
it Brilliant.
Be Clarkson? No, it wouldn't. Would it be Carol Vorderman? No, I don't think so. They wanted Matt Dawson.
And, Brilliant.
Obviously very, very proud, Danny, to be top of that list, so I thought I'd shout about it.
Yeah, you definitely can't go wrong with that, to be honest with you. I'd certainly call you, Matt, to get me out of something like that, because I'd be absolutely useless it myself. But for someone like me and other people that might be listening that want a bit more help, how can they get some more help on this, Matt?
Well, they can quite simply go to holtzauto.com, go and have a look at the website there. There's some really cool product called Tire Weld, which I think, Danny, you need to get in the back of your car, because then you don't need to even change the tyre. You just attach it to the wheel and then it inflates, puts the foam into the tyre, and then you can drive off with a fixed wheel temporarily until you get it to the garage. So you don't need to worry about changing the tyre anymore.
Absolutely brilliant. That sounds fantastic, to be fair, because I don't think there's anything worse than having to go through that rigmarole all over again. And Matt, there's something we've been asking everyone today. Obviously, it's been hitting all the back pages. It's been dominating the sporting world. And just about everyone's got an opinion on it, Matt. Allardyce leaving and all the rest of it. It just seems to be one of those things that just about everywhere at the moment. I was wondering, Matt, what do you think of it?
I'm not a huge fan of the whole sting and entrapment. Sam should not have been saying some of the things that he said, and unfortunately, I think he was in an untenable position with the FA. But I just think, you know, it's just been handled terribly. I just don't agree with the newspaper, you know, sort of doing it underhand, you know, sneaky hidden cameras, setting him up to fail. And you know, the right decision was made, but I just think, unfortunately, football and particularly the English, the FA and English football has come out of this looking terribly. And has knocked us all for six. You know, it's our national sport. We should all be very proud of our football association. And I think it probably could have been handled a lot better, with a lot more decorum. And then we could sort of move on, find another a manager, and put it down as Sam's mistake. Yeah, it's a really unfortunate scenario, and one that I agree with Alan Shearer. I think we'll probably be the butt of a few jokes for a while yet.
I think you're right there, Matt, and this is one of those topics that's really all about opinions as well, because I've seen quite a few people saying, well, he earns £3 million a year, you know, he represents the FA at the highest scale. It almost seems that he's one of those where they kind of had to investigate in a way.
Yeah, but we don't know what the context is. We don't know what the questions were. We don't know how much they offered him. You know, if anybody has sat there and they've offered a ridiculous amount of money, then potentially you're going to have a conversation with them. You know, we've all been in those scenarios when we've been in a bar and said flippant things to add to the conversation. You know, nobody is perfect in any way, shape or form. And so to have it all on hidden camera and microphones, I think it's just, you know, wrong there. If you're in the public eye and you know you're in the public eye, then at least you can deal with it. Saying that, you know, he's in a very high profile position, and anybody now has to assume that they can't even go for any kind of business meeting and or answer a question without thinking that it's going to be recorded in some way.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on the Daytimes. Thank you so much for joining us today.
That's
also, this week we had a full round of fixtures on Tuesday night, so I wanted to gauge the views of our resident score predictor, Tom Feeney. Now, I always have to explain, he's not very good at score predictions, so I like putting him up against just about anyone in the world. So I got Sam's young lad, Flynn, to give us his score prediction against Feeney's, and this is how it went. So that was Burning Love, Elvis Presley here on Radio Yorkshire, online and on DAB. And it's just gone 12 minutes past 11. You know, I promise you, it's probably Sport and Proper Radio. Some more great tunes coming up. That's the Divine Comedy. We've got some Libertines and some Noel Gallagher and some Freddie Mercury coming up. But before we do any of that, it's time for this. One man's challenge to take on the world. And that man is none other than Thomas Feeney. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Daniel, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Not too bad, thanks. Just to clear up the score and tell people what Tom Feeney against the world is. Tom, you're not very good at score predictions, it's fair to say.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
So I put you up against a dog.
A very smart dog.
A beagle, yeah.
Yeah, very smart dog.
Liam's mum.
Yep.
And now we've got a very special one for you. But just to let you know the score so far, on the doors, it is 1-0. To the world. The dog won that one.
Yep.
Nothing to say on that one?
It's like if a manager loses a game, you don't keep talking about that loss. You move on. That's what I'm doing. I'm fully focused on this one. It's going to be 1-0 by the end of this evening, and I know it, you know it, the whole world knows it.
Yeah, you certainly do sound like you're very confident.
Very confident.
For this one, Tom. Can I get your score predictions for the game tonight, for Bristol City versus Leeds United?
Do you know what? I think Leeds United, the run continues. I'm saying Leeds United win this one, and I'm going to go for 2-1.
2-1? To Leeds United is Tom Feeney's prediction. Well, this time, we've had Sam's dog on, and I really wanted to do this one. We've got Sam's lad on. We've got Flynn on, little lad, and he's going to tell us his predictions for the game. First off, is it going to be a Leeds United win? Is it going to be a Bristol City win? Nothing there. Is it going to be a draw? We'll take that as a yes. Take that as a yes from Flynn. It's going to be a draw tonight. So, what are the goals? What are the goals, Flynn? So two goals for Leeds United. What about Bristol City? How many are they going to score?
Two.
Well, I suppose it'd have to be 2-2 if it was a draw anyway. But 2-2 is the score there against Sam's little lad, Flynn. You feeling confident, Tom?
Yeah, I've won. I know I've won. Leeds United will win tonight. It'll be 1-1.
You said it was going to be 2-1. You're not doing very well at this, Tom.
Yeah, no, it'll be 2-1.
We'll see you another day. We'll count up the scores there, Tom. We'll take it as 2-1 before we do any of that. But as always, Tom, absolute pleasure having you on here. With some more great tunes coming up, this is a cracker over my head from The Fray. Beanie Against the World continues, as it will. And we've also got another one coming up later on as well. But before we have that, let's have a look at the big Rugby League weekend. I'm joined by Trevor Baxter from the Daily Mirror. He's a Rugby League correspondent. Now, walk me through everything that's happened over the week of Rugby League.
No problem. Nice to speak to you.
He's another very exciting weekend of Rugby League action ahead. Got to start off with Warrington St Helens. I imagine Warrington right up for this one, as always. Very much hoping to get themselves over to the grand final after what they can describe as a good, successful season so far.
Yeah, I mean, they reached the Challenge Cup final and perhaps a little bit unlucky to lose to Hull in that one. And then, of course, they finally managed to snare the league leaders' shield on Humberside last week, and they had a couple of chances, threw it away against Wigan, but you know, came back strongly to beat Hull. So they will, you know, they'll be in good heart. Although I'm just worried a little bit. They've obviously lost Ben Curry for 6 to 9 months with his knee injury, and Curry's been a massive player for them this season. So be interesting to see if they can fill his absence.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, a lot of people have been talking about Ben Curry, how well he's played. I mean, he could have even been there for a few people as a Man of Steel contender, how well he's played this season.
Very surprised with that, Danny. I thought he would have been almost nailed on for one of those three spots. Take nothing away from Denny Solomon, Danny Horton and Gareth Ellis, but I think Curry has been exceptional this season. He's such an exciting player to watch, and he would certainly have been in my top three, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And looking on the St Helens side as well, no easy opposition this for Warrington.
No, I mean, they have been there before, say. They've been there and done it and not done it, but they sort of gone a little bit under the radar this season. They haven't always been brilliant, but they've got the job done. They've not had the bad luck with injuries quite as bad this season. Johnny Lomax has been outstanding since he came back, and I reckon that Saints will be quietly confident of going to Warrington and sneaking a result tonight.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. Really looking forward to that one. I've got to look ahead as well to Wigan against Hull FC. I'm not sure if we will see Warrington Hull FC in another final again. It really would be remarkable if we did see that again. Wigan, a side that we've seen being able to grind out wins so far this season, Trevor.
Well, they have. I mean, a lot of people sort of criticise them a little bit for the style of play. As you say, they grind the opposition down rather than sort of really running in loads of points, and you've got to credit Sean Wayne's side for that. I mean, they've we talked about injuries with St Helens, but they've been decimated, Wigan, this season. And I know they announced at the start of this week, didn't they, that they've lost Sean O'Loughlin and Sam Tompkins for the rest of the season, and they're really down to the bare bones, yet they still manage to get the results like the one against Warrington a few weeks ago. So, you know, you can't underestimate Wigan, and they'll be really keen to get revenge for that Challenge Cup semi-final defeat, I reckon.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. Null FC only making that one change for the playoff trip over to Wigan themselves. And Null FC, I suppose, it can't be written off this season. We've seen some fantastic player from them. Maybe a bit of a hangover maybe from the league leader's shield and everything that's happened there, and maybe some Challenge Cup fatigue there maybe, Trevor?
Well, if it's a hangover from the Challenge Cup final, it must have been a mighty good booze-up session. That's all I can say, Danny. But, you know, they haven't hit the same kind of straps, have they, since that Wembley win over Warrington. They've had the chance to make it two parts of the treble, but blew it, you know, and the final nail in the coffin was against Warrington last Friday. It's a tough one. I mean, if they play like they did against Wigan at Doncaster in the semi-final, you would take them to get there. And also against how they played at Wembley against Warrington, never say die. and they came up with a couple of late plays to snatch the game, and in Danny Howell and Gareth Ellis, you know, you've got two outstanding players. It's going to be a really close one, that one.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. Of course, on Saturday we've got the million-pound game as well. Trevor, is it a shame that this is going to be, you know, 3 o'clock on a Saturday? Because I know there's been some criticism of it being there as a fixture right in the middle of where all the sports happening. Maybe should it have been moved? Are you happy to see it at 3 p.m. on a Saturday?
It is a strange time. I mean, what about Sunday? I don't know. Possibly that would have been a better option, but it is what it is, and I don't think the two teams will be thinking too much about, oh, we're going to kick off at 3 o'clock when that hooter sounds. Massive game. Both clubs have had the problems this season. You know, the OKR got rid of Chris Chester very early in the start. They had enough time to get a full-time replacement in. And Salford, you know, they wouldn't have been in this mess but for that points deduction, but they are. And you've got the daft scenario of Tim Sheens, Salford's director of football, going to OKR, now on gardening leave because of the game between the two teams. Really strange one.
Yeah, that is one of the strangest things I've seen in quite some time. And as soon as it were announced, it seemed nailed on that was going to be the million-pound game, really. But, I mean, we're looking at these two sides now, and there's a little bit, especially I've seen on Twitter, of talking about the million-pound game and almost some criticisms about it, obviously players' future and playing for contracts. I mean, what do you think of the concept of the million-pound game overall, Trevor?
At the start, Danny, when it was first mooted, I wasn't for it. I just thought it was another gimmick by the rugby league, you know, that was unnecessary. But last year we had Wakefield and Bradford, and now it generates a lot of interest in the sport. It's a big talking point. Whether you should be, you know, generating so much hype over a game between two teams that finished, you know, fourth and fifth in the middle eight, well, that's another debating point. But I think it's a good concept, and it's a massive game. If I was betting, if I was doing a Mark Wilson and having a little flutter, I would probably go for Hull KR with home advantage and those passionate Robins fans.
Very interesting to see indeed. Can't wait for that one. And elsewhere, one that's not talked about too much, obviously everything that's been happening over the last week and all the great rugby league action we've got, is the Championship Shield, Bradford Bulls against the Sheffield Eagles. I mean, it seems like at the end of this one, it might be the end of an era for Bradford. Quite a lot of their players have had for some time moving on. Would it be a nice thing for Bradford to pick up something like this? And should it be given maybe a little bit more publicity than it's getting at the moment?
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to have that one. But you think back 12 months. This time 12 months ago, Bradford were 80 minutes away from getting in Super League, probably even less during the game, you know. And here they are. Didn't even make the middle eight. And it is a meaningless match, okay. It's a final, but in all intents and purposes, you don't want to be playing in that game particularly. And you do fear for both clubs. Certainly Sheffield have had horrendous problems towards the end of the season. Don't forget they went full-time for 2016, and look at the mess that they've found themselves in. So, no, I can't get excited for that one. I'm sorry, Danny.
No, I totally agree with you, to be fair. I can't imagine the Bradford Bulls, Kingston, the Championship Shield going very nicely against the Challenge Cup and Super Leagues of the past. Now, I'm wondering where they're going to put that, to be fair, Trevor. It's an absolute...
quite go with the World Club Challenge either, does it?
It really doesn't. I can't imagine it going with that 2003 trophy cabinet. Trevor, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Always great having you on the day. So thanks for taking the time out to talk to us today. No, there's always a massive argument at some point on the daytimes. I do quite like having quite a few good, solid arguments on here, and I always like to do it once a week with Arliam from the Mirror Online. I caught up with him to say who should be the next England manager. Hello, welcome along to The Great Debate with me, Danny Parkinson, and it's another very fun one today. It's time for The Great Debate. I'm joined, as always, for these little arguments.
With friendly discussions.
You'd have to consider me a friend, though, Liam, would you?
We're getting there.
We're getting there. We've only known each other 5 years. It's longer than that now. We're closer to ten. Anyway, Liam, journalist, broadcaster, best friend of rugby league coach Brian McDermott. Thanks a lot for joining us, always.
A pleasure.
We're going to look at what's been hitting all the back pages, of course, in Leighton Orient's manager. I'm only joking. Oh. Of course, it's down to the Telegraph and what's come out over the last few days or so. And it seems to have really rocked the world, Liam. And I mean, rocked the footballing world, certainly.
Yeah, it's... can't remember the last time we saw something this big. Mm. England manager involved in... I'm reluctant to call it a scandal, but that's kind of how it's being presented.
Yeah, no, I think it's going easy calling it a scandal at the moment. Just from the amount of media hype around it, it's on every back page and all the rest of it. So very interested to see what happens. But this leaves a vacuum, Liam, a vacuum that I think Greg Dyke, if you're listening, Martin Glenn, we're going to fill the gap and decide the next England manager. Now, before Sam Allardyce's appointment 67 days ago, it was 68 now, sorry, that was yesterday. 68 days, depending on when you watch this, just add a day or two, depending on when you've watched it. I picked Steve Bruce. And he's the best manager for the job. I think he's a very talented manager. I have to say, I covered Hull City at the time that he got them promoted in the playoffs last year. And I thought they played some great football along the way and managed to have a base between the ownership and the fans. I think he's got to be the candidate, Liam.
To be honest, you go back to where we were in the summer and I thought, Steve Bruce is England manager, really? I thought that then, and nothing's changed now. All that's changed is we've gone with one manager, decided he can't be the manager anymore, and then he's just going down the list of candidates.
The problem is, no manager that's going to be England manager is going to get above the top six. Because Steve Bruce, whatever he does, fantastic record. He's never going to get the Man United job despite him being a legend.
Not sure he's a legend at Man United.
All right, fair enough,
He's never had a fantastic managerial record, though.
Okay, let's look at his record, because I've written it down. He's managed 784 games, 7 clubs, promotion to the Premier League in 2001-02, 2006-2007 with Birmingham, promotion in 2012-13 with Hull City, took them to Europe, all right, got them relegated, but then brought them back up again. Little old Hull City, as he called them, and took them to really some of the highest echelons of football. Surely, that's a good record.
I think you missed out at least another relegation in there. It's gone down at least twice.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to miss out the relegations. Mm. I'm just saying, the record's there.
It's record, isn't it?
It's a good record.
Is it an England manager's record? Look at the map. I know that England have failed for best part of two decades now, hiring good managers, right? Mm. Managers with good records, Capello, Eriksson. Struggling now.
Don't you dare say McLaren.
You won't
let
me, will
you?
I'm struggling, but there's at least two there. It's a bit of a step down, I think, isn't it, from Sven-Göran Eriksson and Fabio Capello to Steve Bruce.
Yeah, but he's never going to get. He's never going to get a top job.
Why is that though?
Because he's.
Think about why that is.
The fact of the matter is, they won't take a chance on English managers. If a Steve Bruce had done the same in Spain, he'd have been snapped up by a big club.
No, he wouldn't.
If Alan Pardew had done the same in Germany, they'd have gone, oh, what a talented manager he is, let's bring him over to England.
No, wouldn't.
And then he'd have done the same thing, and they'd have gone, oh, what a brilliant manager he is.
It took Steve McLaren actually winning a league abroad to do that. Not just keeping sides up and then taking them down. He won the league.
Yeah, he did. And then failed on the back of that.
He won the league.
Numerous clubs with Wolfsburg, Nottingham Forest, Derby, Newcastle.
Two teams win the league in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
He managed a team that was neither of those and still did it.
Yeah,
that's what it took to rebuild his reputation.
Went to
right?
Wolfsburg and ruined it, and went to Newcastle and Derby and
Newcastle, Derby, fair enough. But that's what it took for Steve McLaren to rebuild his reputation. Okay. Steve Bruce has never even got near that level. Nowhere near.
No, but how could he, there's a barrier in English football that you can't
go
break.
Abroad? Then, if that's the case, go abroad.
So you just all English managers can just pick up sticks and move on.
So Steve McLaren had to do. No one in England would take him, so he went abroad, rebuilt his reputation.
So you're saying that all England managers that want the England job should go abroad first to prove themselves?
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think an English manager will get the job, but it will be someone better, more qualified than Steve Bruce.
Who?
I don't know.
See, there
I really
isn't
don't
anyone.
Know.
There's no one. Alan Pardew, he surely can't get the job after everything that's happened.
I'd be very surprised if
he
was
the man that brought in Mascherano and Tevez, and that's why the rule had to come in. That was the highest case.
Eddie Howe's the obvious candidate. And I know the argument you throw at him is, what's he achieved, which is fair. He took Bournemouth up and they've played nice football, but they've had a lot of money to do that.
I was going
to
say, I'm glad you
It's not like a fairy tale story. They've been really well invested. But you've seen a young manager and a manager who's got potential, plays football the right way. There's no damaged goods there or anything. He hasn't got a blotch on his record. At the moment, his record is unblemished. Steve Bruce has got two relegations. He's, what, in his 60s now? Or late 50s?
No, but if you get a team relegated, then you can't surely write a club off of that. You've got to remember, Liam, this is Hull City that have had non-stop problems between the fans and the owners going back years. He managed to get them all together. Imagine how this is, Liam. Hull City, in the playoffs, as I saw him last season against Derby, booing, holding red cards up when they're coming out onto the pitch. He managed to rally that team and get them up in the end. That is a remarkable achievement. See, half a season, red cards and booing all the rest of it. Come on, Matt, you've got to give him that.
Remarkable achievement. He had a Premier League team and only got into the playoffs. I won't say that's remarkable.
I think it is when you look at it in the bigger picture. The Championship's an hard league, and that's what Newcastle are finding out now. It's harder league than you're giving it credit for there.
No. What do you mean Newcastle are finding out now?
Well, they're finding it out. The third. Yeah, I know, but they're still finding it very
third, and they're going to get promoted.
That's a topic for a different day, but I don't think Newcastle will go up as champions, but that's an entirely different debate. What I'm saying to you now is Hull City, with Steve Bruce, did very, very well.
Yeah, they did very well. I'm not denying that.
Alan Pardew's done well. He's got a good career record. It depends how you're going to do it. Because if you look at a manager, for example, Pep Guardiola, right? Imagine if Steve Bruce was Barcelona manager when Guardiola was Barcelona manager. He'd have been the same thing. He'd have won. He'd have had some of the best players in the world.
Yeah, well,
he might have even won the Champions League with Bayern Munich, the best team in the world.
The point is, you get these positions based on your reputation and things you've achieved. You don't just get it given to you.
No, I mean, but
you have to have achieved something.
No,
you have to have been
cap.
At the top level.
The cap is there. The cap is Crystal Palace, Hull City.
I don't agree that it is.
Stoke.
I don't
West
agree
Brom.
That it is. Everton are above that category.
So why was
Everton above that category?
All right, I'd say that Everton. Because what I said to you before was sort of six and below, right? And I'm sort of tempted.
Tottenham are in it then.
Yeah, I put
Pochettino.
Spurs in there. Yeah. Yeah,
came into Southampton when Nigel Adkins was doing a decent job. Yeah. I don't think people thought Southampton were going down, but they sacked him and brought this guy in who we thought, well, who is he? Why have they taken a punt on him? Did a fantastic job with Southampton. Tottenham took a punt on him.
Yeah.
Done a fantastic job there.
Yeah, that's very
because
true.
He's worked his way up the league. That's what you've got to do. You can't afford, if you're going to work your way up the league, you can't afford massive failures like so many of these managers have had.
I wouldn't call some of these absolutely massive failures. I think some of them are written
you
off
by
the...
You take teams down
promotion.
Twice and you're constantly just sort of keeping your head above water. It's not achieving enough.
On small budgets with
what
the fans...
What do you think Pochettino had?
...protesting against the club.
What do you think Pochettino had?
I'm still not, all right, fair enough. Pochettino's the same, but would an English manager have been considered at that time? Was anyone looking at Man United thinking, tell you what, let's hire an English manager. Let's go for Steve Bruce.
So what happened when they hired a British manager? People thought, got to hire a British manager. They'll keep the traditions going. Look what happened.
Yeah, I know. David
Unmitigated
Moyes,
disaster.
David Moyes ruined it for everyone, right? I'm genuinely
Cheers,
saying...
Cheers, David.
Yeah, thanks, David Moyes. Never having successes in England because of you. I'm actually being a bit serious here, right? David Moyes has pretty much tainted the idea, because a lot of people did say it was great at Man United at the time to bring him in. But not only did he, you know, fail as Man United manager, but Rooney on a 5-year contract, so we're actually finding out how much worse he is years later. But that's ruined it a little bit now for me. I don't think we'll see an English British manager at a top club for some time.
There's a reason for it. English and British managers are largely quite stubborn and refuse to adapt.
Sam Allardyce is the exact opposite of that. If you look at Sam Allardyce,
he's largely played football the same way his entire career. He
he's
got kicked out of West Ham for that.
Science, sort of sports
he brought
science.
That in, and that was fair.
He was on the cutting edge of technology there. Yeah. You look at the football he played with Bolton and JJ Okocha. It wasn't exactly who football.
No, it was long ball. Stuff.
No, it wasn't entirely long ball.
Kevin Davis was a mainstay in that team for that reason.
No, but
because
what, I'm,
could
saying
play
is,
a long
what I'm saying is he's not Phil Parkinson Bolton now. It's not every single attack's going up to Proctor.
You've never
sense.
Associated Sam Allardyce with attractive football.
No, but what I'm saying to you is he has adapted. He's adapted to the modern world and the modern football and modern personalities. And a lot of English managers have done that. I spoke to quite a few of them. I spoke to Stan Turner the other week, former Burnley manager. And he said that's one of the main things you've got to do. You've got to adapt. Paul Jewell said the other week, if Alan Shearer was playing now, he wouldn't score a goal because no one crosses the ball. That's what it's all about, adapting. And I think that's very, very true of what it says.
You get British managers like Brendan Rodgers, Sean Dyche saying that, you know, people are unfair against us because we're British. If we were foreign and we were doing this, we'd be...
Exactly.
Wrong.
I totally
Absolutely
agree.
Wrong.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. Brendan Rodgers. Why?
I don't like signing myself
for Brendan Rodgers. He said that he was doing what I think Pep Guardiola was doing years ago. Years and years and years ago. The two fullbacks in midfield. Yeah, we were doing that years ago. We never saw that. Never saw that. They hail themselves as revolutionaries and they're not actually doing anything out of the ordinary.
No, I think gegenpressing is something we saw, you know, 20 years ago. High-pressing football. It's just fancying. It'll all come back around. Eventually, it'll all be hailed as a foreign manager will come in and go, oh, I tell you what I need. I need a big man, small man up front. I need to lump it upfield.
Yeah, and it'll be the foreign manager who brings that
exactly,
back in.
Exactly, it will be. It will be. I have no doubt about that. What are we arguing about again?
I think it were England, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Right, so you're not a fan of Steve Bruce, Salah Pardew, Eddie Howe getting it. Is there a foreign manager that you'd say get it then?
I don't think there's a foreign manager who would get it. The one candidate who there was Jurgen Klinsmann. He ruled himself out getting it.
Oh, that'd be a pathetic appointment.
Anyway. Yeah, I know. I just think most of these, none of... I wasn't inspired by Sam Allardyce, and I'm not going to be inspired by whoever it is next.
Arsene Wenger?
It won't be him. He's at Arsenal. It will
end
not
of the
be
season?
Him. Don't know if Southgate will wait on long enough.
No.
If it was Arsene Wenger, I would look at that quite positively. I'd be quite interested if it was Arsene Wenger.
Mm. Well, we'll wait and see. Liam's not going to be happy either way. Right?
No, probably not. No.
I don't think there's any way he can please you on an international level.
No.
Unless you just scrapped it entirely.
That would please me.
Yeah, but I am a big Englishman, not just actually in size, but genuinely looking at the sort of international scale. Can't wait to see what England do, and I'm hoping Steve Bruce gets the job out. I really do, after what we've seen from him and Hull over the last few years.
Now, you might be listening to this, you know, skiving off work, playing the new FIFA 17, and what a game it is. I don't know, really. It's different, isn't it? It's very, very different from the other ones, as far as I can see. Probably turns out in a couple of months' time, it's exactly the same as every other FIFA game has ever been, just with newer players, and everyone's bored of the journey mode by now. But I wanted to speak to our man, Andy Lawson, a little bit about this and what he thought of the game.
The legend himself has graced us with his presence. Andy, it's been a big week for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Telegraph allegations. We've just seen the Rosetta going to a comet.
Incredible science.
He's absolutely brilliant, that comet landing. And everything else we've seen this week's been unbelievable. But FIFA 17 came out as well.
Indeed it did, yeah.
And it's been... He's different because they changed the engine and all the rest of it. He's definitely different.
Yeah, I must say, to put context if you want, in the last 24 hours, FIFA has become my favourite game, and so much less than that that I'm thinking of uninstalling it now, Danny Parkinson, from my laptop. Reason being, because I thought I was quite good, and then yesterday for TV Yorkshire, I did a game where I was Huddersfield, Jack Deaton from The Office was Ipswich, I got battered 3-0. Mm. I might uninstall it now.
Yeah,
uninstall. No, I don't want that
if
anymore.
If you want to see that video, tvyorkshire.co.uk.
No, don't.
Watch Andy Lawson getting... royally beaten.
Yeah, thanks.
It's safe to say. I think we should get another game. I mean, how about a Bradford versus Huddersfield? How would that sound?
We can see if that's doable.
I'll practice. I recommend getting at least some in ahead of that one. But no, it seems to have all changed now. I mean, you've got the journey that's in there, but you're not a massive fan of the idea of that anyway.
The thing is, right, with this, there is the journey where you have to be, and you have to be this, like, one person,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, that's annoying.
You can't, like, because it always has been you could create your own stories in similar games in the past, you know, you make a player that was your own name or whatever, and you would go on, and there's been, like, other games, like Madden in the NFL has seeming to done something similar to this.
Yeah.
It's kind of been there, done that, and you have to play as Man United as well, don't you?
No.
Oh, don't you? Oh, I thought you did.
Any Premier League club.
Hull
with Mike Phelan.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay.
Yeah, he's definitely different.
I have to wait till next year till I can play at Huddersfield then.
That got a bit off topic there with the FIFA stuff. But anyway, let's have another good debate. Joe Rawson and I had a good catch-up over Daniel Craig. I've never been a big fan of the bloke in my life. I prefer the old Pierce Brosnans, but I didn't like Bond before then. I don't even know why I asked for his opinion in the first place.
Look at what's happening with the new Bond. There's speculation that Daniel Craig could play James Bond. Another franchise producer said they'd love the actor to return to his role. Frankly, he's made one good Bond film in Skyfall.
Yeah.
That's it. The rest...
You see, this is where we disagree.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think Casino Royale, really good film.
Fell asleep.
Skyfall, top film.
Good film.
Obviously, Quantum of Solace.
That was awful.
A little bit of a...
Didn't even understand it.
A little bit of a downer for him. But yeah. And the latest film I thought was really good as well.
Yeah, awful. Awful.
I mean, that opening scene, which if you've not seen it, I'll try not on not spoil it. But
it's an opening scene.
It's in Mexico and it's filmed with just one camera. Yeah. And I think it's not the best scene of the film, but that is one of the best Bond scenes out there. You know, it's really... That's really good. And for me, I wasn't a massive fan of Bond before Daniel Craig.
Really?
Piers Brosnan.
I had you down for a massive Piers Brosnan, Roger Moore
No,
fan.
I mean, I've watched them now, and I do like Roger Moore. Sean Connery is right up there as well. But Piers Brosnan, I think his films got a little bit ridiculous. It was when Bond, you couldn't take serious because it was all a bit cheesy. And then Daniel Craig came into the role and they obviously modernised it a little bit. And I think you can take James Bond serious again.
No, I think he's just too boring. I'm able to suspend my disbelief. Fair with GoldenEye was absolutely ace. Come on, Sean Bean.
Yeah, GoldenEye is one of the better old Bond film, yeah. Especially the best one that Piers Brosnan has done. But Die Another Day, oh my word!
Had a better soundtrack though to a lot of the newer Bonds, anyway.
Well, I don't.
But anyway, we're not arguing about the soundtrack.
What's wrong with Adele?
It's boring. It goes on for ages. No, Die Another Day was at least a bit fun.
Die Another Day was bombing Madonna.
No, yeah, well, it was a fun song.
No,
it was much better.
It wasn't a Bond song.
Drab.
I wanna die another day. Horrendous. Horrendous. Adele and Daniel Craig. That's James Bond, mate. That's James Bond.
That's a dream team made in heaven, that is. I imagine people are flocking to the cinemas to fall asleep.
Well, they are. I mean, you know, Bond always tops the box office, but especially since Daniel Craig has been in the suit, I guess you would say, in the Bond suit.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think you could put anyone as Bond. It's still top of the box. Everyone wants to see Bond, don't
they? Okay, who would you have as Bond then if it's not James Bond? Hiddleston?
I'd love to see him. Idris Elba, I'd love to see him. I think they'd both be great. I think they both just ooze coolness.
Daniel Craig doesn't. I like Idris Elba.
Yeah.
But Tom Hiddleston, not after the Taylor Swift debacle. He's lost all sorts of credibility over that.
I don't even know what's happened there. But I know we don't have time to fill me in.
Hiddle Swift. Have you not, you know, read the Daily Mail at times. listen to Darren Harper do his Daily Mail roundup on Good Morning Yorkshire.
I will.
Turner's just a bloke who continually gets his top off on Paul Dark. And that, you know...
I don't even know what that is either. Exactly. Anyway, I don't know what Paul Dark is. I don't know who he is.
How can you argue about Daniel Craig? He's the only one you've heard of.
No, because Tom Hiddleston and Idris Elba are far cooler. Daniel Craig isn't cool.
He is cool.
Daniel Craig is not cool. Craig is Crocs. That's
anyway,
what he is. He's middle of the road. He's bland.
This story that's out today is one of the producers, Callum McDougall, saying they'd love Daniel back as Bond.
Yeah.
But Craig has come out and said he didn't want to play Bond again. So, you know, just because Callum McDougall says it, I mean, who the hell is Callum McDougall for a start? I think we will end up with a new Bond, but, you know, for me, Daniel Craig is James Bond. He is my favourite. I'm sorry, Danny. We'll have to agree to disagree on this one.
Well, bring back Piers Brosnan, that's what I say.
Me and Joe Rawson have a good discussion over James Bond. And remember, you can listen to the Daytimes live every day. Every Monday to Friday. I'm not here Saturday, Sunday. They have to give me a couple of days off, at least. So Monday to Friday, 11 till 2. Because we've not just got great interviews like this, we've got some great tunes as well to get you through your workday. Bit of Oasis, bit of Killers, bit of Kasabian to get you along through your workday. You certainly won't regret it. Anyway, let's get back to where we had some of the good interviews as well. And since you've stayed so long, since you've got here to live in, it only feels right to give you Feeny Against the World. I just love it. Some men can challenge the world and never find their true selves. But one man who has the gall to do it is our man Tom Feeney. Tom, how are you doing?
Hello, Daniel. How are we doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks. You're selfishly in Ireland at the moment.
Yes, I am. I just watched Dundalk face Maccabi Tel Aviv, so I
Hope.
It's all right. I've told everyone at home this is going to be pre-recorded anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to pester you while you're over in Ireland.
I was going to try and predict the score for that.
Well, you're not very good at that so far. No,
I was going to say. So anyway. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm in Ireland. I'm otherwise engaged at the moment.
So Tom, I have to ask you this time: what is the score going to be? Ipswich Town versus Huddersfield Town. What's the score going to be?
I tell you this: Mick McCarthy, as Sam Bridges and Tom Cardiff have said, is a club singer in a past life. Well, I am saying Mick McCarthy will be dancing a tune during the Saturday evening.
Because
Huddersfield Town, unfortunately, are going to lose, and it's going to be 3-0.
3-0?
Ipswich Town.
To Ipswich Town?
Unfortunately, the Wagner Revolution, just over the last few weeks, suffered a few blips, and Ipswich Town are going to get that big win.
Let's see what you're up against then, Feeney, shall we? So, Tom, let's see what you're up against this week, because Beth Crystal Wilson, who does the A-list, has kindly gone and asked her puppy, Lupo, to predict this week's result. And what's the result going to be this week? So there you have it. 2-1 to Huddersfield Town. So you heard it there. That's your up against this week, Tom. Should be very interesting to see the results of that one indeed. Hope you do. You are having a good time in Ireland at the moment.
Thank you.
And we'll top all the scores on Monday. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. When I am, proving that I am better than the entire world.
I don't think this is what this is about, but thanks as always, Feeney. Friday's Feeney Against the World on Radio Yorkshire. New home promise you proper sport and proper radio. Hope you're having a cracking weekend or weekday if you're through to next week. And remember, you can listen to me every day from 11 till 2. Great sports chat. Great tunes along the way, and some great banter as well. You certainly don't want to miss it. Catch me every weekday from 11 till 2. Thanks as always for giving us a listen.